Welcome everybody into the Benchwarmers Redemption here on Dragon Digital Radio. I'm Matt Trudell, and with me, like always,
Alex Baker wearing my romp him,
and
Nathan Snow. How's everybody doing today?
All right, guys.
So Nate,
Alex, Nate,
it's a very comfortable design.
It's very
in fashion.
It's breathable.
You know. All my boys in the frat are wearing that stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
It shows my thighs better.
I'm knocking down some brewskis.
Oh my
tonight.
Gosh.
I can get better form in cornhole. All right. Let's talk about Game 7.
Okay.
The Game 7 I'm talking about is, of course, the Wizards and the Celtics.
I'm over it, but...
Over it?
Hold on. It's, how can I put it? So I'm a little disappointed. There's obviously some things they do need to fix in the offseason. Number one, obviously, do you keep Ernie Grunfeld as your general manager? And my answer is no.
Why?
Because Ernie Grunfeld, he's like Andy McPhail of the Baltimore Orioles at the time.
If you want to look at it, Andy McPhail is the reason why Adam Jones is on the team. Andy McPhail also traded Eric Bedard for Adam Jones and Chris Tillman.
Yeah, but any of them got there, were the Orioles winning?
No, but like this is my, and I don't want to go into an Orioles discussion quite yet, but it is hard to run a team when an owner is working against you.
Okay, listen, I understand that Ted Leonis, he pays more attention to the Capitals than the Wizards and the Mystics combined. I get it. But there are a lot of things that need to be fixed. First and foremost, I believe that the Wizards need to really revamp their bench. By far, next season, John Wall, Beal, Otto, if they do re-sign him, Markieff Morris, Gortat, they decide to keep him, cannot play 40 minutes a night because they're exhausted. Their bench obviously needs work. I thought Trey Burke was another example of Eric Manier from a couple years ago, what we got from Oklahoma City. He's supposed to be a 3-point shooter, give some vibe minutes off the bench. I didn't see that. Brandon Jennings, supposed to be this spot up shooter from Milwaukee and the Knicks. I actually didn't see that. Ian Mahimi, bum. No disrespect to Ian Mahimi, but...
he's a bum. They should have never went out and got him. I was pretty upset about that. But I will say, you got to give Grunfeld credit for Bogdanovich. You got to give him credit for Jennings.
But Brandon Jennings didn't really do much for me. I didn't see... I was expecting...
if Brandon Jennings made it so Trey Burke wasn't playing a lot of minutes. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Trey Burke is virtually Eric Maynard from 2 years ago.
Okay, but like, who are you going to get to be your backup point guard?
There's a couple backup guards out there. I can't name them right now.
Exactly, see? That's how these millennials do it.
See, there you go with that again.
All right, so here's my thing. All right. Ernie Grunfeld probably deserves some blame. Where I would blame him in is taking so long to fire Randy Whitman, then hiring Scott Brooks. And personally, in Game 7, there's two people that I blame for that loss.
John Wall's one.
1A is John Wall. John Wall, now I understand he was facilitating the hot hand and getting the ball to Brad Beal, and Brad Beal was on fire. But the problem is that when you go that long of a time without taking shots, when the time comes where you need to take shots, you're cold. And that's exactly what happened to John Wall in Game 7. But the person that I blame the most, Scott Brooks. And I said it from the beginning of the year, I was not happy that the Wizards went out and got Scott Brooks.
Who did you want them to get?
And then he changed my... I don't care. Like, honestly, I mean, someone that will preach at least a little bit of defense. Someone that's actually a good in-game coach.
Okay, but see, you're looking at Scott Brooks. I'm looking at this. I'm looking at their bench, for example. They need depth. I mean, Kelly Oubre Jr., he's just an energy guy for defense.
He looks like a girl.
Jason Smith. I think it's like virtually Chris Humphries with a little bit of an upgrade.
White people shouldn't be in the NBA.
Thomas Sadoransky, okay. Chris McCullough, he was out pretty much the entire season. Sheldon McClellan.
They don't have a great bench. I agree. I'm not disagreeing with the great bench, but here's my thing, right? All right, I don't know. When you were watching
games... And on top of that, you don't have a first-round pick. So, right, if you're Ernie Grunfeld, if they decide to keep him, you got to make some serious... You got to make some type of moves in the offseason.
So, game seven, did you listen, watch and listen at the same time? They go the inside the huddle?
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice how Brad Stevens was like, this is what we're going to do. Let me coach you up. And then every time they showed Scott Brooks, he goes, hustle.
Yeah.
Congratulations. I could go to HCBA. And find someone who can tell kids that you're telling professional basketball players to hustle. That's what you're doing. That's how you coach. That's how you bring in. You know that the Wizards had a legitimate issue with their bench, so you sit John Wall at the beginning of the third quarter for 5-6 minutes of game clock and run with Jennings, and then the game gets kind of out of hand at that point. You sit there and you know Bogdanovich needs a decent amount of minutes to get his thing going, but he keeps coming in every other. You know, it's like you need to know your players as a coach.
Well,
what?
If I remember correctly,
Scott Brooks lover,
whatever you say. If I remember correctly, John Wall was on Inside the NBA. I think before All-Star break, and was talking about in the beginning of the season, you know, it was a little bit of trying to fill each other out. You know, he let them do their thing, how Randy Whitman did with them.
That worked, right?
And it didn't in the beginning. And then it was like, okay, let's see what he can do. But you got to give them credit. They won 49 games. It was the first game seven since we've seen since 1979. This team obviously does have what it takes to get over the hump to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. But they need a bench.
They should have swept Boston.
Well,
can you argue against that?
No, I can't.
Exactly. And I'm sorry, but when your team, and honestly, this was a problem at the end of the regular season, if you remember. The Wizards constantly blow big double-digit leads. If that doesn't fall on the coach and his in-game coaching, what does? If Pop was out here,
go,
yeah, right. But if he was out here blowing, his team was out here blowing multiple double-digit leads.
Well, last night
frequently.
Last night and the night before, not night before, but for game one, Pop was, especially last night. Pop was like, they just without Kawhi, they look lost. Who's also a GOAT,
Kawhi. But look, here's the thing: they're not set to win that. They weren't even they're not going to win that series.
Who?
The Spurs.
Put money on that.
You think the Spurs are going to beat Golden State?
Did you watch the game last night?
Yes, I did.
You want to? How much money do you want to put on it, Nate? You know, please. Please, Nate. How much money?
We will go over that after the show. But I'm going to tell you, there's two
Make
names.
Make a watch movie 43.
Two names that are going to save the Spurs.
The glitter.
Manu Ginobili and Pau Gasol. And Patty Mills. They're going to bring the Spurs back.
Pau Gasol is softer than a baby's bottom.
No, he's not. His effectiveness should never drop.
You think Pau Gasol's a man?
Yes.
Come on, bro. He's not even Marc Gasol. And Marc Gasol's not even
Marc Gasol's a center. Pau's really...
It doesn't matter. They're not men. They are Spanish dudes that play weak basketball. Dirk Nowitzki, I love that man to death, but he plays weak basketball. Like, European-style basketball is not manly.
That's what's killing the NBA anyway. If you think about it, European basketball
is killing the NBA.
Yes, because the way European ball players come over.
I'm sorry. But the fact that we call superstars who can't make jumpers, but they can just dunk, is what's ruining the NBA.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
The fact that you have dudes that are built like tanks and they flop all the time is ruining the NBA. European basketball is a nice brand of basketball.
Nobody plays defense and everybody just takes threes.
Yes.
But
the fact that European basketball actually probably helped the NBA. Dirk Nowitzki was one of the best things that happened recently. Mm-hmm. But in saying this, it's Scott Brooks' fault, bro. It is. It is.
I'm not disagreeing
cool
with that.
Cool story. Guess what? He also took a team to the finals, right? With two mega superstars.
And just out of curiosity, where was the sixth man of the year that game?
You're talking about Harden?
Yes.
When, what game?
Again, when they play against Miami in the finals, where was he? Okay, thank you. That's all I want to know.
Okay.
You said nothing.
Okay. I mean, yeah, he had a terrible series. It's proven that James Harden does not, he's on his way to being a Peyton Manning type guy. He was not there when
you're going to compare James Harden to Peyton Manning?
No. I said type guy. He's going to put up amazing regular season stats, but he's going to disappear when it counts. And if you don't think that's true, just check his history, going straight back to college.
So what's Russell Westbrook? Congratulations, by the way, Russell, newborn son.
What is Russell Westbrook? What do you mean?
Type player. You said James Harden's like a type Peyton Manning. Like,
he's going to be.
So what's Russell Westbrook?
Russell Westbrook has balled out in the playoffs.
Is he an Aaron Rodgers or a Tom Brady?
He's probably more along the lines of Aaron Rodgers, just because Aaron Rodgers only has one title and Russ has zero so far. But Russ actually shows up in the playoffs. And he actually took a team that has nobody other than him to the playoffs.
Victor Oladipo, Enes Kanter,
Steven
Adams.
I love Oladipo because he's from around here, but the man has not panned out.
I mean, the team he was drafted by stinks. What do you want to do?
Okay.
It's the Orlando Magic. They haven't been the same.
But then he goes to OKC, and he has a chance to be the second dude.
I think he was. I think he put up. I can't remember his. I can't have numbers off head. But I think he did fairly okay. I think he needs to step up in certain situations. Sure, he does.
Fairly okay.
But not just him.
But if you're going to be the second star on your team, you can't be doing fairly okay.
Okay, now what about Steven Adams? What about Enes Kanter? You're just going to ignore them too?
They're garbage. You think they're good?
They need to step their games up next season. Steven Adams has got, what, $100 million contract extension?
And that's stupid. Do you have anything to say, Alex?
No.
Okay.
Wait until you talk about the Caps or hockey or baseball.
Okay, well, we'll get into that soon. I just want to sit there and just reiterate, Scott Brooks, it's all your fault.
Well, and I want to reiterate that the Wizards need a quality backup point guard, another big, and more shooting. But Imahimi is under contract for about $16 million through 2019,
and that was a stupid contract. I'm never going to disagree with that. I hated it when it happened. But I'm also backing up my thing where the Wizards would have been a lot better the past couple years if they didn't have Randy Whitman. And Scott Brooks was able to show, look, this team is quality enough to make it a push for the Eastern Conference Finals, right? As is. But in Game 7, when they should have swept them in 4 or 1 in 5, right? In Game 7, because, by the way, they go back to Boston and they absolutely lay an egg after a major win. And if it wasn't for John Wall in Game 6 making a 3, they would have been eliminated when they should have swept them, or at least 5. If that doesn't go on but Scott,
who else is it?
Then who else do you give it to?
So I have a
question. Because I'll tell you something. Ernie Grunfeld, he is only in charge of putting the team on the court. Scott Brooks is in charge of managing that situation. And he was out there looking like a clown. He was out there saying, hustle. Why don't you draw up a play? Why don't you? How many wide open layups did they have right under the basket?
Tons.
And you never drew up, this is how we stop this. You just say, hustle. We need to get back on defense. When they were back on defense, they were falling asleep.
Especially
where's the adjustment?
There was no adjustments made.
There were none. So you know who Scott Brooks is? Mark Turgeon. I said it.
That's fair.
He can recruit the hell out of guys, but he can't coach them. Spurs versus Golden State.
We're not done here.
No, we're done. We've already spent 14 minutes on a team leaving and not coming back till next year.
I have a question. Do you trade Marcin Gortat?
I don't care what they do. We need someone. Jan Mahimi better not be starting. I would rather have Ian Eagle. And I hate the way he pronounces his name. All these weird Ians. They're all Ians, but Ian Mahimi is Jan Mahimi, and Ian Eagle is Ian Eagle. Get that crap out of here. We need somebody that's able to play basketball. We need a coach that can coach. We're going to be...
Scott Brooks should be okay. Don't listen to Matt Trudell.
Scott Brooks, you should go somewhere. You literally are younger Mike D'Antoni.
Oh, okay.
Not Mark D'Antonio.
Mike D'Antoni.
Well, maybe Mark D'Antonio because of last year. And Izzo. Fire them all. All right. Spurs, Golden State, you and I are going to bet off air. You're going to be hurt.
I'm not, because
you got to watch Glitter.
No, I want money.
Money and glitter.
No, in all seriousness, I just give, because without Kawhi, they look lost. They really do. And I thought last night.
Even with Kawhi.
No, I thought they had a chance to win game one. Well, with Kawhi, LaMarcus Aldridge, as much as we are looking at this series, I got to put some of this blame on LaMarcus Aldridge. Because he is supposed to be the heir apparent to the GOAT, Tim Duncan. And he didn't show me that in game one. They should not have lost game one. They should have won. They let Stephen Curry and Kevin Durant.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Since Charles Barkley and Dan Marley, I've heard the two score combined. I think it was like 70-something points.
The Spurs will be lucky to win one game in this series.
I give them two.
You give them two, but you want to bet that they're going to be Golden State in the series?
Manu Ginobili and Pau Gasol. I'm not sleeping on them. I'm sorry.
Pau Gasol is like... It's not 2003, bro. Like... Or 2009. Or like, I mean, it's years. Like, we're talking... Pau Gasol is like irrelevant.
I'll tell you, I could tell the game was over. When Doris Burke asked Greg Popovich a question, and she just, I can't remember the question she asked him. She only asked him one question. She's like, we're just going to leave it there. And he just looked like, oh my gosh. That's how I knew the game was over.
This man's literally sitting here like Pau Gasol. So first off, we're talking about like two like 90-year-old dudes that are still playing basketball.
Oh, I didn't hear you say anything when Manu Ginobili had that game winning block.
I like James Manu. Arnold. I like Manu.
No, you don't.
I do. I'm a huge fan of Manu, but he just is. All right, ready? Let's get Pau Gasol. By the way, Pau Gasol is listed as a center here.
He can virtually play any position: small forward, power forward.
He can virtually play the bench. 12.4 points per game, 7.8 rebounds, 1.1 block. His player efficiency rating is 20.23. Legend. He's 36. You're 36 in a karate class? That's a Jay-Z line. That's a Nas line. But anyways, let's go look at your boy. Who'd you say, Tony Parker?
I said Manu Ginobili.
Oh, you said Manu. Okay.
And Patty Mills.
Patty Mills. I'll take Patty Mayonnaise over Patty Mills.
I mean,
Manu Ginobili, 7.5 points per game, 2.7 assists, 2.3 rebounds per game, 13.94 player efficiency rating.
I mean, just even, I mean,
Patty Mills is gonna have the best stats out of all of them. No, never mind, he's not. Pal's definitely the GOAT on that squad.
I mean, the Spurs have shot 37%. 8 of 30 from three-point range. Golden State nailed 57% of their shots. And it's...
So were you trolling me when you said you didn't think the Spurs were going to... do you think the Spurs are going to win the series?
Now that Kawhi Leonard's out, no. They're not.
See, flip-flopper, man. Sports Talk's Newt Gingrich.
I don't know. I'm.
So you think with Kawhi Leonard they would have beat Golden State?
They should have. They would have had game one.
That's cute.
So let me ask you a question: was that Zaza play dirty or not?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Back in the 80s, that would have been a standard play.
LaMarcus Aldridge, disappointing. 1 for 4 with 2 points on post plays and 4 plays in game two. He's averaging 9.7 post-up plays per game in his last 3 outings. It's disturbing.
All right, so...
LaMarcus Aldridge, show up!
Cavs versus Boston. First game's tonight.
Cavs.
Do you have them winning the series?
No.
You have Boston winning the series.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I have the Cavs winning the series. I'm sorry, I apologize.
This man is on some drugs, man. The other thing is the Spurs could beat Golden State. The Spurs could have LeBron on their
I predicted the Spurs and Warriors in the Western Conference Finals, didn't I not?
The Spurs and the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals?
Did I predict
Dude.
Did I predict that, yes or no?
Are you really going to sit here and act like that is like...
I predicted that.
You're a win talker because of that. Like,
they're the top two teams
in the Western Conference.
The Spurs go there every year.
That.
You said Golden State and Houston.
Me?
Yes.
Maybe I went out on a whim. But I'm not. But okay, it's more like, dude, the Spurs. We're talking about the Spurs, who have been the quiet dynasty for the past like 20 years. 18 years. They've been a quiet dynasty. And you want to sit here and try and tell me that them and Golden State playing in the Western Conference Finals is a shocker?
To some, a lot of people are expecting Houston and Golden State. I predicted San Antonio and Golden State.
That's a given.
Not for you. It wasn't for you. Sorry, fans, though. You said Golden State and Houston.
I believe when I said that, I said, I'm going to go out on a whim here. Or something along the lines of, I'm just not going to pick the typical ones that everybody thinks. It's the Spurs. Like, we're talking about the Spurs here. We're talking about Pop, which we already talked about earlier in this show, being the GOAT. Cavs in Boston. Alex, who you got?
Cavs.
How many games?
I'd say 5.
5.
I think they're going to sweep him. Because Kelly Olynyk ain't going to play like he played in games every game.
Yeah, 26
like,
points.
And they have nobody other than Isaiah Thomas. That's the other frustrating part about Game 7 is...
Avery Bradley, Al Horford, Amir Johnson, Jay Crowder, Jonas Jerebko.
Jonas Jerebko.
Right.
That's a good one.
Terry Rozier, Jalen Brown. Jael Green. I'm just giving the names.
And you think those are solid?
No, it's not. And we shouldn't have. And we should have won Game 7. But when you
we should have swept them in 4.
I would have said we could have won in 6. But when your bench is not solid and there's no depth, that's a problem. It's a problem.
Agreed. But when you have a coach that tells you to hustle instead of actually coming up with solutions.
Well, when your guys aren't hitting shots like Marcin Gortat, 0-for-3 in the first half.
Oh, dude, if the Wizards are going to rely on Marcin Gortat to go off in a game, they're never going to be successful.
Can we have Andre Drummond?
Hey, you can have him. Just remember that he's not going to show up every game.
All right. So let's just... Boston gets the number one pick in the NBA draft.
I'm pissed.
Why?
I hope they get Malik Monk.
All right, here's a quick question. NBA draft lottery, fixed or not?
Fixed.
What makes you think that?
The Lakers get the second overall pick, and everyone and Lonzo
Ball.
Why
do you think Ball, the Cavs got so many number one picks?
Huh?
Why do you think the Cavs got so many number one
Dude,
picks?
Dude, you and I have talked about this before. I totally agree. I mean, mm-hmm. you can't bring your cell phones in there, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh... Abe Pollin died and the Wizards end up with John Wall and they can't sell the New Orleans Pelicans but here you go, here's a first overall pick and Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. Like Abe Pollin dying, greatest thing to ever happen to the Wizards. I will stand by that statement till the day I die.
I have no comment for that.
Am I wrong?
I'm not saying a word.
We can name a street after him, get that over with, and then just greatest thing never happened to the Wizards. And even though I'm not a huge Ted Leonsis fan, at least he shows you that he can get your team to be super good in the regular season and choke in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, let's go on to this man, Nathan, over here was like, the Cavs are going to win. The Cavs are going to win. Last week, we guessed the score of the game.
I said it would be an overtime just to really stick.
You said it would be an overtime. 3-2 overtime Pittsburgh. Matt Trudell here said 2-0 Pittsburgh. Fleury was going to have a game.
You're right.
I know my not my Caps, but I know the Caps. They're not my Caps, though. Hashtag not my Caps. How do you feel, Nathan? Tell me how it feels. How it feels.
I have no comment.
Why?
I just have no comment.
I've heard a lot of fans are saying calling for Barry Trotz's head.
It's not. It's like, not.
It's,
Barry,
it's not Trotz. Trotz. It's yeah, definitely it's not Trotz. Trotz.
Yeah, it wasn't Boudreaux's fault either.
No. You know who? It's literally the jersey. Like,
yeah,
it's the jersey and the fact that Alexander Ovechkin's Carmelo Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
Except, I believe he is married, and I believe he's keeping the ring that he earned, unlike Melo.
Oh,
don't get a stripper pregnant. Get a stripper pregnant when you got Lala at home. Stop.
You've said that joke like 3 or 4 times already on the show.
I love saying it. I think it's great.
Be careful. Carmelo and these guy people in Baltimore. He might jump.
Send them after me. I could care less.
You're snitching.
If he attacks me, if he sends people my way, that means I'm speaking the truth. So, whatever. It's called journalistic integrity. He can break my legs. I'll sue him. And then I'll be... Well, I won't want Knicks season tickets for life because that won't get me anything.
Mm-hmm.
Except for disappointment and tears.
Stephen A. Smith.
You could wear like a Oakley jersey or something, you know?
But well, yeah, man, I still like Melo, and I used to be the biggest Melo apologist ever, but then... Same thing with Ovechkin. I like Ovechkin. I think he overall... is a better player than Sidney Crosby. But the one thing that he doesn't have that Sidney Crosby has is the ability to be a winner.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a winner. He's a regular season winner, but hey, Matt Cassel at one point was a regular season winner in his life.
That's true.
Vince Young was a regular season winner in his life.
Was Craig Collins, when he was at the Titans, was he a winner?
He was a racist winner. He was.
Craig Collins is a racist?
Yo.
I'll look it up.
Google it. All right. He went to Penn State too, so you already know he's messed up.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
So caps suck, and I tried to tell Nathan. I tried to break it down to him gently, but he wasn't willing to accept it. So now he's sitting here. DC teams will always let you down, bro.
Why don't the Nationals let me down last year when they had the NL East?
They let everybody out down every year because they have such a stacked team and such a solid payroll, and then they suck.
What about Vamos United?
Vamos.
So like DC United?
DC United's all right, but I can't remember. Well, first off, I don't care about the MLS, and then on top of that is I can't remember the last time they celebrated an MLS championship here.
The last time they won was like 03, something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, 2004.
Exactly. When you were like just a wink in your mother's eye.
No. That's a joke.
Can you get closer to the mic? Like we're professionals here. Like
gotta breathe.
He's just
the mic.
Sitting in the back corner of the studio, like just All right. Ottawa and Pittsburgh's tied up in one. Pittsburgh's injured right now, man.
Yeah,
did Sidney Crosby did they ever say what Sidney Crosby was, because he did not get a concussion protocol in game 6 when against us. The Caps.
Okay.
Concussion?
Maybe.
That I heard.
He missed majority of a season 1 year because of a concussion. So here's my thing, guys. You know I'm pro Ottawa all day. I want them to win so bad. I was mad that they didn't win game 2, but I think they're going to take it. Nashville, Anaheim.
Yeah, that leads me to a point. That was a really good game last night. And I was watching that game, and I was flipping back. Well, I was a little between Better Call Saul on Monday, but also between the NBA game. I just thought, and that was the Warriors-Spurs game, which was a huge blowout. And he had.
I thought you said you watched the Orioles Detroit game last night, Alex.
My Monday and Tuesday, but anyway.
Sorry.
The Spurs game with Warriors was a huge blowout, but the NHL game was great. Come from behind, win for the Preds. Two teams you don't really expect to see going this far in the finals. And then you got two teams you expect to see in the finals every year, and it was a boring blowout.
Yep.
That just shows to me why I think the NHL playoffs and just the competition is so much better and so much more watchable to me
than the NBA playoffs.
The NBA.
I agree. The NHL playoffs are some of the better playoffs out there, and I love them. I hate regular season NHL. Yeah. I refuse to watch it. But when the playoffs come around, I went to sleep right after Nashville tied it up last night. I was like, I'm tired. I want to watch this, though. Go ahead. Sorry, what were you saying?
No, go ahead.
But yeah, great game last night. Nashville's so electric. They're like their fan base is just really about it. I am definitely, if Ottawa does not win the Stanley Cup, Nashville's definitely my second pick. And honestly, it's funny. Back when I'm a Titans fan, so briefly I considered becoming a Predators fan, but then I realized I don't really
Your
like...
Your boy Mariota was at the game last
he
night.
Was, he the was. Whole, the whole offensive line there, every year. Which rightfully so. I mean, you see that when the Ravens go to the playoffs, you'll see Adam Jones and all that. Michael Phelps will be hammered drunk somewhere in the building, planning to drive home still. What, Nathan?
Nothing. Continue with your point.
Here's my thing. I don't think I should be allowed to pick on him if it was just... Well, no. If it's a one-time thing and he's a public figure, I can pick on him. But he is a habitual drunk driver. Getting pulled over with... You can do the research.
Turn your phone off.
Yeah. Jeez.
Professionals here.
So, you know what I'm saying? Between you coughing in the mic, him sitting in random corners, like, it's just getting out of control. But yeah, packed last night. But you see local teams, like, you know, when the Orioles are in the playoffs, you know, Justin Tucker. Yes, thank you. Justin Tucker will be there. You'll see Flacco.
Yeah.
You know, cheering monotonely.
Eating Wonder Bread.
He's from Jersey, too. That's the funniest part.
Is he an elite fan? Is Joe Flacco an elite fan?
He is top level. Actually, I don't think he is an elite fan because he doesn't show enough emotion to be an elite fan.
Thank you.
But you know what? Like, all right, so can we talk about sidebar real quick to talk about fans, right? Because I feel like there is going too far, right? Like the 40, 50-year-old dudes that are just like all painted up in like shoulder pads at the Raiders games.
Yes.
Or like the guy
Darth Raider.
The fireman and for the Jets.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or the guy who is the
Bolt Man.
The Raven guy. That's taking it too far. Calm down, okay? Because they don't care about you, bro. Like they don't. They're just collecting money from you. People that just stand shirtless and are painted in the middle of a December game, like,
oh my gosh. That is absolutely true. I hate that.
Yeah. Like, you can be a good fan without being ridiculous. And also, like, get some friends, man. Because I feel like they're not accepted in their everyday regular life. So they have to dress up like clowns and then everybody loves them. But they don't really love them. They just love the fact that that's the stupid guy that did that.
Yeah.
And to add on to that, what really, really upsets me the most... Like, for example, when the Orioles won the AL East and the next year they didn't make the playoffs, notice how the attendance always is short of its target. But when you're winning, you want to show up to the games. But when your team sucks...
That happens everywhere.
I hate that.
Unless you're like a consistently good team.
Yeah, I mean, it even happened to the Red Sox. Remember, Red Sox had, like, a sold-out streak, and then they sucked. For, like, 3 weeks, and people were like, I'm done.
Yeah.
I hate that. They're not true sports fans. A real sports fan would stick to their team thick and thin. Like me, who stuck with the Orioles for 14 years of mediocrity.
Okay. And below mediocrity. But
I stuck with the Tigers when they lost 119 games.
I remember you that. Don't stick with anything, okay? Yeah. You are.
I may not watch them as much, but I'm still a fan.
Was Steve Sparks on that team?
Steve Sparks? No, we had Demetri Young.
All right, here's my thing, though. What were we talking? Oh, so
hockey.
Yeah, so Nashville, it's what happens. Because the thing is that people are poor, right? All throughout this country. And they only have a certain amount of money for entertainment dollars. So when your team is winning, you will go see them. When your team is not winning, you won't go see them. And honestly, why would you go to Camden Yards when you're already getting charged extra money just to have Masson on your television? Why would you go put more money in Peter Angelos' pocket when he doesn't spend it? And then the one time he does spend it for Chris Davis, they raise ticket prices. My feeling is with high definition televisions and everything, I don't need to be there anymore. I don't need to deal with drunk, stupid people. I don't need to deal with Randy sitting two rows behind me talking about how Manny Machado is the best first baseman he's ever seen in his life. How many times are you at a sporting event where you hear someone talking like they know exactly what they're talking about?
I agree with that.
But, like, so I'm sorry. Like,
that pisses, that bothers me.
They won't let me bring a machete in and chop him up. So because they won't let me do that, I will watch the game from television.
Yep.
You don't got to deal with drunk frat boys in the bleachers going, ew, R, I, and then they misspell Orioles. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Like, they do the wave.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And especially it's...
Or when they go like, ew.
I went to a Tigers game at Camden Yards, and I got accosted by a drunk fan. I've never gone back since.
Really?
Yeah. It was in 2008, and Gary Sheffield was still on our team, and so the guy kept saying, hey, Gary Sheffield sucks. He sucks. And he just kept doing that over and over again.
Like, that's the thing is, like, if they do away with alcohol and the riffraff, I'm fine.
It's like what happened with Adam Jones at Fenway Park a couple weeks ago.
Well, yes and no. Yes Boston and is notoriously racist. Yes. So, like...
That goes back.
Like, I even tell people, like, when people, I'm like, you're surprised that Boston's racist, but Boston's even racist to certain kinds of white people. Like,
that's true.
Like, so.
That's true.
You know, I. All I'm saying is that.
The point is, just watch games on television.
The point is, if you have Comcast, even if you don't ever watch an Orioles game, you get charged for Masson. It's like an extra, like, 50 to 75 cents a month. Now, that's not a super amount of money, but...
It does affect your pockets.
It does affect your pockets. And the fact of the matter is, he paid for Chris Davis, which is like a 30-year contract, which only he plays for us for 6 years, and then they're going to have to pay him forever, and he's not going to bust open his pocketbook for... Yes, Peter Angelos has a pocketbook. He's not going to open up his pocketbook for Manny... But he's going to raise ticket prices every time he signs someone.
Which makes no sense.
So guess what? Why go?
The same thing, you can make a case for, like, the Ravens, too. You know, you...
The Ravens have come off of two years, and they're raising ticket prices this year.
It's more like three, but that's okay.
I was just giving you all the benefit of the doubt.
No. Three.
And then people are mad that the Ravens didn't sign Joe Mixon. And it's like... Do you understand what that would do to your franchise if you signed Joe Mixon? Because, like, if there's anybody out there that has committed a domestic violence offense that was worse than Ray Rice's, it's Joe Mixon or Hardy.
Or what about this guy that just got drafted by the Cleveland Browns?
Mixon. No, he was Bengals, which is a perfect fit for him, by the way.
Yeah. Who? The defensive tackle. Caleb Brownlee, something like that. Brownlee.
Oh, you're talking about the... He got accused of
No, not the cornerback from Ohio State. He went to Florida. I just read this earlier today. A couple days before the draft, he assaulted, he was in a bar, he pushed a girl who was like 5'6" and something.
Is it on camera?
I don't know.
See, it doesn't matter if it's not on camera in this country.
Pixar, it didn't happen. you know.
Aaron Hernandez's wife came out and said that she did not know what was in the contents of the box that she destroyed. So, cool story on that. I believe you. MLB. The Orioles came off of a tough weekend.
They won last night.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on. But God darn it, man. Can I talk about last weekend first? Skipping. It came off a tough weekend. Blew two leads.
Yes. That Mother's Day game, I turned it off.
Got swept.
By the team that beat us in the second round.
Kansas City just has their number. I'm just glad they tried to blow it last night. Now we're moving on. We're playing Detroit. Okay. Is it a four-game series?
Just a three-game, I think.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday?
Yeah.
Okay, sure. Yeah, that makes more sense.
Who was your starter last night again?
Matt Boyd.
Okay. That's what I thought it was.
He's filling the void.
Wade Miley. What?
Miley.
I can't watch
Wade Miley Cyrus.
He went five innings.
Okay.
And they're going to bat.
He looks like Bam Margera. But I would have been really upset if they would have blown it last night. This series is going to be the battle of the struggling, terrible bullpens.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, if you watched the game last night, our bullpen, up until K-Rod came in and did his crap, looked pretty good. We had this new guy, Chad Bell, came in after Boyd got... Yeah, Bell looked really good. And then the Wilsons looked all right. It was just... Once K-Rod came in, that's when the whole thing fell down.
Yeah. Yeah. Brad Brock's been struggling in the closer role. Just the whole... Ever since Britton went down...
Yeah, their bullpen looks... They look lost. They look lackluster.
But the Orioles lost four games in a row, ends up winning last night, and they're still only a half game out of first place behind the Yankees. And I'm a firm believer the Yankees are going to fall off at some point.
Yes.
I still think the battle is between the Red Sox and the Orioles.
I'm just not sold on Boston because my thing is you give guys, they got a stacked team, and it has shown that they are known to collapse. Like when, what was it, 5 years ago when they needed to win. They just needed to win one game. And the last game of the season, Robert Andino knocked them out.
My man.
Knocked them out the playoffs in Tampa Bay.
And the Blue Jays are starting to climb back up a little here and there. It's a long battle still, but
we still have, July. I mean, so this, the Orioles are looking strong in the first half, but I it would be nice for them to make a move or two before we get to the deadline on the 31st. That would be nice.
What do you think the Orioles should do?
I think look for a pitcher. Spot start.
What are they giving up for a pitcher?
Jimenez.
What are they going to get for Ubaldo Jimenez? Yeah.
What's good? What are you going to get?
Whatever is entertained out there. They need that. My personal their weakest position is the shortstop. And that's J.J. Hardy. He's not the X factor.
Except when he plays the Tigers. He always has good games against the Tigers.
You don't think their weakest position is the corners of the outfield?
Seth Smith, Greg Gentry. They can't. Yeah, that's fair. But I still, it's shortstop. Than the corner outfields for me. Because J.J. Hardy offensively is not what he used to be when he first got here.
Okay, we don't need that. We got Wellington Castillo, nice. Which is a catcher that actually can produce offensive numbers.
Leave him.
My man came back, first game, three hits. You know, we have 10 hits in the past, like, four games from catchers. I don't think that ever happened with Matt Wieters as the catcher.
I'm going to push that cuss button.
Look.
Leave Matt Wieters alone. Man.
Why? He robbed us, okay? He's the Bernie Madoff of the Baltimore Orioles. He made off with hitting. You saw the only hits he got in the Nats O series was those little stupid softball home runs. My man, Wellington Castillo. So much better. It's unreal.
This is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. Okay. He's batting .329. When has Matt Wieters ever came close to those numbers in his career? All wait.
Next topic, please.
Okay. Let's go to... So we talked about the standings. We talked about the bullpen struggles. I did not read this article the other day, but did you hear who might be making their way to the MLB this year?
Tim Tebow.
Wasn't on the front page at ESPN?
Probably was.
He was on the
level. Because of the injury issues. Are you excited about that, Nate?
No.
Who knew that he was Deion Sanders?
Or Bo Jackson. Tebow knows baseball.
Yeah. All right. Batting average for the one, the only, Wieters. 308 was his best year. And that was 2014. 308. That's your boy. Look at how stupid his face is, too, man. Like, I told people, I think generally he should have gotten... this is what would have happened if I was there and I was coordinating fan stuff. Is he walks out onto the field for his first at bat, right? Mm-hmm. A solid, like, 3 to 5 second boo, followed by an 8 second clap, then done. That's what you get. Do you disagree? You don't disagree with that? He should have been booed?
It depends on what he's getting booed for.
Robbing us of $15.8 million is where I would start.
Tim Tebow?
No. Matt Wieters. So, are you guys looking forward to Tim Tebow being in the MLB?
Are you really pulling up their
Sunday
stats?
Night Football? Yeah, man. I'm walking off. No, you can't walk off. We're already locked in.
I just know it's going to be talked about on ESPN nonstop.
Oh, yeah, man. Especially Skip Bayless. Oh, he's not there, so it's going to move over to Fox Sports 1. He's going to be like, Tim Tebow was the greatest athlete in the history. He's the greatest athlete since Bruce Jenner. You know?
Buckle up, Buckaroos.
Oh, man. We are going to be banned by the FCC. All right. So, two more topics I want to talk about. They're NFL related. So you heard about this opioid issue in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
You know what opioids are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just wanted to start off with the basics. They are claiming that teams overprescribed.
Which I believe so.
Wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
Wholeheartedly. There's a reason why that show. Yeah. Wouldn't do that. There's a reason why that show Playmakers only made it 1 year on ESPN. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You remember that? Are you too young for that?
Playmakers?
Yeah.
That show sounds familiar.
I remember it a little bit. Yeah. I wasn't allowed to watch it because I was like 9 at the time.
Yeah, it was like literally them showing them being like injected with drugs at halftime and mm-hmm. like smoking crack and such. All right. So they had this judge the other day say that there was no like proof or whatever, right? Come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
that's ridiculous.
Yeah. But I guess my question is, how do we deter the opioid problem in the NFL? What would your solution be to that?
More drug testing. I mean, these guys.
Well, all right. Now, here's the thing, though. All right. Now this is the NFL prides itself on having its star players out on the field. So how do we get the star players out on the field without throwing OxyContins in their system?
If you know that you're overprescribing players with oxycodone, that looks bad for your brand if you're Roger Goodell.
Because there's no such thing as bad publicity, bro.
You know what some people have been saying?
What?
Smoke a little dope. Weed, you know?
I was like, dope.
Weed, you know? But like, it would help them honestly, mellow them out, cool them out.
Look, that's what gets these half-teeth. That's exactly why Josh Gordon can't play football this year.
But if they change the rules.
Yeah. Because I swear, if you hit that stand with that thing, man, you are done in this town. So, I'm just sorry. I'm sorry. He's just out here lassoing things.
But like you would say, calm them down.
Who was the dude? Out. Who was the dude who?
Ricky Williams.
No.
Martavius Bryant.
No. Can I get Jacoby my question Jones? Out? Can I get my question out? The guy who was the left tackle, Eugene Monroe. Answered it myself. Eugene Monroe, the reason why his career ended in the NFL is because he became a big proponent of and supporter of medicinal marijuana.
Jake Plummer, too.
The snake.
You could just see that man's picture and just tell. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you know what's really amazing? I saw a pic. I have an old Madden game. Like 2002.
You went to Colorado.
2002. And when I saw him with the Broncos, I'm like, when he was in the Cardinals, then the Broncos, I'm like, damn, what happened to Jake the Snake? Went to Colorado.
He went to, yeah. I think that's a way. I mean, you remember Jay Williams?
Yeah, Duke.
Duke basketball player.
Who ruined his career.
It ruined his career because of the motorcycle accident.
Yes, I do.
And he was addicted to opioids.
Mm-hmm.
And he just wrote a book recently talking about how big of a problem it is in professional sports. He said he'd be in the NBA and dudes would be in the locker room either taking pills or getting drunk before games just to maintain the career.
Or maintain their focus or maintain their... Yeah.
So, I mean, I definitely think it's something that they can try. Now, the problem is you do have Josh Gordon where you vilified him for the past, you know, 4 years.
Because he can't stay off the weed.
Which is dumb.
Yeah.
Which is dumb. And I totally agree. I think that's the dumbest thing.
Okay,
like,
now question. Now, let me ask you a question. Now, you're saying you do not mind the NFL experimenting with it. What about the NCAA? Because you're going to have players in the NCAA that are going to go, I want to try that too. Because you got to change the rule. Because if we're going to use the NFL, it's got to.
The thing is, man, is I'm a big supporter of, if you want to ruin your life, let them ruin their life. Right? It's when they start ruining other people's lives that is where the issue is. So if there's people in the NCAA or the NBA or the NFL that is going to let a drug like marijuana ruin their life, let them ruin their life.
Rasheed Wallace smoked he smoked a lot of weed. And
Randy Moss did. Randy Moss did, and
he's
one of the best players in NFL history.
Goat.
He's notorious. You know, I mean, he got pulled over going to the airport and
Brian
he had
McKinney.
Weed in his car. Brian McKinney. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, you can't protect people from themselves. And that's one of my big issues, not only in sports, but in this country in general, is that we put all these rules and regulations on people. And I understand, you don't want people out on the streets harming people, this, that, and the other, right? Mm-hmm. But like,
Where's the incentive?
Yeah, exactly. Like, Alex and I have talked about this several times. I don't think you have to be like, please, caution, do not eat paint. Like, you should just, your parents should teach you not to eat paint. And then, like, I think we dummy-proof the world way too much.
And then you
wonder why there's so many dumb people.
Overfied Dr. Phil society.
Say the marijuana thing. Would you think if they had them do that, would they not get them off the opioids? We think that'd be a good idea, where it's like, hey, they're just getting a little high, smoking weed.
Well, what you could probably do is use that and scale it back and not use opioids, but other non-addictive painkillers.
I mean, there's like pills that have THC in them that can probably get you that.
But I'm saying you prescribe them medicinal marijuana, but then you also just give them like jacked up aspirins or Advils or like they have. Naproxen, right? Mm-hmm. Naproxen is a leaf, right?
Yes.
But that's what it's called, naproxen, right? My girlfriend's mom is having some back pain recently, right? So they prescribed her physical therapy, and then they gave her just higher milligram dosages of naproxen, which is a non-addictive pain medicine. It doesn't get you high or anything like that. It just, she pops it. and her back feels better. So if you prescribe them medicinal marijuana and prescribe them something along the lines of a non-habit-forming pain medication, mm-hmm. I think that will help.
So, okay, so what if you have guys that get addicted to it?
Addicted to what?
I mean, let's just say guys in the off season
get addicted to what?
Opiates.
I'm sure there's tons of dudes addicted to opiates. Yeah. Opiates.
Do we limit it for guys during the season or after the season?
I'm pretty sure these NFL teams are giving it to them year round. Remember Josh Howard?
Yes.
The basketball player where he was like, in the offseason, the NBA doesn't.
Brett Favre took painkillers. Tons of them. He was addicted.
Yeah. There's tons.
Mm-hmm. I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. I'm just saying.
Josh Howard was notorious for being like, in the offseason, I smoke marijuana. You don't test me for it. I'll be clean by the time the season starts.
And he was.
Yeah.
But the reason why I'm asking, because these are questions that need to be answered, because, you know, how much do you put into it? You know, do you test it?
Opioids.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, I think the NFL is really completely fine with this, because the NFL in the past has shown that they really don't care what happens to you after your career as long as you make them money during their career.
Well, that's why you have a lot of former players in that union, trying to sue them.
Yeah.
You get ignored every year.
Yeah.
The only reason why I say that, because I look at it like this. Any sport you play, you know what you sign up for. Yes, I understand, you know, you're going to at the end, you see guys walking around limping, they're, you know, a whole bunch of stuff. But, you know, you're not setting a good example for up and coming young athletes, because
they don't care about setting examples. The athletes care about making money. The NFL cares about making money. The NFL wants to make sure that their star players are out on the field every week.
But at the same time, as a league, you want to ensure that your players are healthy all year round.
No. You want to create the illusion that you care that your employees are healthy year round.
But we should all care about their health. But at the same time, it's real funny. Like, once they're done, well, thank you for your services in the NFL. We won't see you later.
Yeah.
Like, that's messed up.
What? Dude. The NFL's messed up. They were a tax-exempt nonprofit organization up until like 5 years ago. They make billions of dollars a year. How are you a not for profit? I can't stand this kid right now.
No. Twirling that thing.
And they wonder why our headphones break in here. Nathan Snell is the only person in the history of Dragon Digital Radio to get fired from an internship.
Oh my gosh. That's not true, America. That's factually incorrect.
Horrible reviews on his
That's factually incorrect.
Factually incorrect, like the Caps are good.
Matt Wieters is a good catcher.
Oh my God, right. Terrible. Glorified first baseman. But yeah, the NFL is all about creating the illusion that they don't care. You know what I'm saying? They're like, oh,
why do you think all those teams are moving to LA?
Exactly. We care about
money and marketing.
Head injuries, but then at the same time, we won 18 games a season. It's like you already have head injuries in 16 games, so now you won 18 games.
That's true.
Anything else you guys gotta say? And it's gotta be quick.
Shout out to the Mystics. They got their first home opener. Beat the San Antonio Stars. I know they're going to the. We all know they're going to
Premiership Rugby starting up this week. The championship finals. Gonna be some good games.
And Scrabble Championship on ESPN The Ocho, because we're all talking about sports people no one cares about. So make sure to watch The Ocho.
I think the Mystics come on tonight, so don't forget to watch that.
What did they play on?
You can find them on their website. They don't put them on TV. I think they only have like two ESPN.
Even rugby ends up on TV, man.
I think that's messed up. I feel bad for the WNBA. Lisa Borders, we need to have a sit down. We're gonna figure this out. Y'all wrong for laughing.
Yo, I'm a huge indoor football makes it on television. That's crazy.
Well, I know that the was it the Sparks and somebody else were on TV. I forgot who they played, though.
Yo, that's hilarious. Even women's soccer, like professional women's soccer. Never mind. All right.
Games come on TV. I can never get the Mystics on TV unless they're playing like the Sparks or the Lynx. I was going to wonder.
Los Lynx!
I was going to watch on live stream.
This has been the Hip Hop Jam Session here on Dragon Digital Radio. This has been the Benchwarmers Redemption here on Dragon Digital Radio. I've been Matt Trudell.
Alex Baker, where am I romp him?
This is Nathan Snow signing off. Have a good day, ladies and gentlemen. We're out. Deuces.
And until next week, peace, stay safe, and remember to love yourself.
Tommy Lee.